week. The Xbox's incredible TV features may have been a few years too early, as demonstrated by the release of Castlevania and the in-progress Witcher and Halo series. This is just one subject on tonight's show. Stay tuned for the rest of the week's gaming news, starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back. It's another week of Orange Lounge Radio, live here tonight, episode number 787 for this August the 4th of 2019. My name is Rob Roberts, joining you over the next few hours to talk about video games, gaming culture, and the gamer lifestyle. And joining me in studio, as she always does, sometimes on cam, sometimes not, it's Dark Sakura.
There, my foot's on cam.
There you go. It's Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
Hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm here.
Good, good. Glad to have you here.
Yes.
All right. And also joining us right over there on my other side, and who is on cam, say hello to Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hello. I'm here. Good. We do tape live, of course, every Sunday night at Twitch.tv/VOG Network. That's VOG Network. The Voice of Geeks Network. Sunday nights at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, usually right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. But tonight, not after the Bobby Blackwolf show. Bobby was on vacation this week. He went to Gen Con, so we'll hear all about that. That's a huge board game convention out in Indianapolis, if memory serves me right. It's one of those things where it's like, if I had the money, the budget, and the time off work, I would love to go to that convention at some point. But sadly, not in the cards for me. But it was in the cards for Bobby, so we'll hear more about that next week when he gets back. But otherwise, we're still here live tonight. So we were treated to Evo, some of the finals going on there.
Yeah, for Tekken 7, I think.
Tekken 7, we were watching a little bit here before we went live tonight. So unfortunately, we didn't see who won. But I'm sure somebody will yell it out in chat. Because, of course, if you do want to participate along with the show, we appreciate all the hellos in our chat room over at Twitch.tv/VOG Network. And some folks making jokes. Before we go live, if you've never joined us here at Twitch, we have just a couple minutes while we're kind of getting things ready. So we have a little picture of Mr. Smush that sits there while some happy music plays. And some folks are making jokes about it. SG100 Matt saying, Mr. Smush pounces into Smash. And Dartesia says, Super Smush Brothers. I guess it's okay for me to say this. We actually are going to be adding a Mr. Smush emote to the palette of emotes here at VOG Network. It's actually supposed to be done a few weeks ago, but we've just been kind of crazy busy with some stuff. But that will be something that we'll have in the hopper for you guys before Dragon Con. So those of you guys, you wanted it, you got it. You're going to get a Mr. Smush emote. It is going to be very special. It's going to be we decided to make it a tier 2 emote sub. So it's going to be a little bit extra special, but Mr. Smush is extra special. So yes. All right. And Questbuster clarifying, no one has won the Tekken Championship yet, but the grand final matchup is going on now. The Street Fighter 5-1 ended earlier today with Bonchan as the champ. Yes, I did see that over on Twitter because I'm a big Twitter person. Anyway, we're going to get into gaming news here. I have a big kickoff topic, some really frustrating news happening here at the top of the show. However, before we get into that, I did want to say something real quick because I know there's a lot of stuff going on in the world, and specifically America, that's on a lot of people's minds, and specifically these back-to-back horrific shootings that never seem to leave the news. And although I'm not one to really want to get super political here on a show that I know people are trying to escape and get away from video games, where I do take offense, I guess, I don't know what other way to say it, is that yet again, we see talking heads going on television and trying to blame it on video games and trying to blame, you know, what these guys did on video games. I'm sorry, but that shit is tired, it's offensive, and it's ignorant, and it's willfully ignorant. And I, for one, am not going to take that shit anymore. It's not the video game's fault, congressman. It's your fault for continuing to do nothing over and over and over again about these situations. Take some goddamn responsibility, do your fucking job, and make this country a safer place already.
The responsibility lies in the way these people are being raised in our failed mental health capacity. Mm-hmm. And it lies in this wave of white supremacy that's been flooding the country ever since the shithole in chief got elected.
And we're not even trying to do something about, like, even if it was like, okay, whatever, people are, you know, really wanting guns. We're not even trying. Like, I'm not seeing any solutions on the table about mental health. I'm not seeing a solution on the table. Like, Congress people, get off the fucking TV and do your fucking job. It's so frustrating.
Well, and even so, mental health shouldn't be a scapegoat in this either. Because,
oh, sure. You don't want to put a stigma on it. I get it.
But we need to make bigots afraid. Mm-hmm. And we need to make them pay for what they do. And I'm sorry, they took this guy in Ohio alive because guess what? White boy. It is domestic terrorism. Call it what it is. Video games had jack shit to do with this.
That's absolutely
Hitler
right.
was a painter. Are we blaming painters for World War II?
And it's well, like...
Now that you mention it.
Well, no, but like, you
he
know...
He was a vegetarian. Are vegetarians to blame?
Well, now that you...
well, you know, all that aside... you know, there's, you know, since we mentioned Evo at the top of the show, there's thousands and thousands of gamers at Evo right now, which I would consider like a positive thing. They're having fun. It's sports. It's a great thing. Video games can be a friendly competition and it's uplifting. And it's just, I am sick of video games being the goddamn scapegoat. Knock it off. Like, get your head out of your butt. I'm just, I'm not going to take it anymore as a gamer. And I don't think any of us should. This is not our fault. Anyway, sorry. I'll get off the soapbox for now, but it would have really bugged me if I didn't say anything about it at all. But I know people do want to listen to this show and play video games to sometimes escape the real world. And since we are talking about mental health and trying to stay in a good state of mind despite everything that's going on, I don't think there's really anything wrong with that. You know, sometimes I know people say you shouldn't plug your ears, go la la la, and play video games. But sometimes I realize, like, if it's, like, what you have to do for your own sanity, then it's what you have to do. So, you know, just stay informed. But if you need a break, I don't blame you. Anyway, let's move on. Let's get into some gaming news. I wish I had a happier story to start us off. But unfortunately, we have kind of a frustrating story starting us off. It's just a different type, a completely different type of frustrating story starting us off at the top of the show. And this is something that very well could have affected all of us in the room. Because all of us here in the room have prior attended E3 at one point or another as media. At least, you know, some years we went as, I think, general, or maybe as you went as like professional or industry a couple years when you were working with that. But at one point, at least, all of us have gone as media. And unfortunately, for some peers and some people we all here in this room know, some of our media friends have been impacted by a very severe leak that happened with E3 data. So what happened, of course, the ESA, or the Entertainment Software Association, who puts on E3, they hand out hundreds of press badges every year. We know this. They hand a lot of folks the press. We've sometimes complained about how hard the process has gotten in recent years as things have shifted from, you know, maybe like indie press and podcasts and things that we do to more like the big social media influencers, the YouTubers, the Twitchers, the Mixers, which we'll get into later, and all of that. So what this also means is that once you are registered for E3, as press, they have your name, they have your phone number, they have your address, and so forth. And while a lot of people in the industry might have like a business, like a retail estate, meaning like a business place of employment that they can put as their address, like maybe they work out of an office in downtown San Francisco or, you know, wherever they're located. Not everybody, you know, especially when it comes to individual influencers, when it comes to the more independent homegrown press, we use, and I know we've used in the past, our home addresses and our home phone numbers because, you know, we're running a business in our spare time, basically. The ESA keeps track of all this information. They have a reason for doing it because they want to make sure that they're able to give this information to gaming companies so that gaming companies can contact you to try to schedule appointments to see games. And, you know, again, we've gone to E3's meeting mm-hmm. before. We've received these emails. We've responded and taken the bait sometimes to see different things at E3. That's how we have brought you guys in the past, the way past when we were going to E3 regularly, some of the stories and hands-ons and things that we have gotten in the past at E3. Unfortunately, this year, it's gone really, really bad. A YouTuber actually noticed on the ESA website that there was a button that would allow you to get a spreadsheet on the site that you could download all of the media information. I believe, and I'm going to be honest, maybe somebody in chat wants to clarify if they know, I believe it was something where you kind of had to like log in as a vendor or as a participant in E3 to see the page. But once you logged in to see the page, the spreadsheet wasn't locked. So if you had the link to get to that spreadsheet, which of course, you know, when this came out, it started spreading around the internet in not so great circles. As long as you had a link to the spreadsheet, it was not password protected or behind some type of security or anything like that.
Which is actually a major breach of privacy law.
In especially now in Europe. You know, Europe has very strict internet laws when it comes to things like that. Yeah, absolutely. This is a breach of law. And unfortunately, you know, the gross thing about the world we live in is that some people take their frustrations out on games that are or aren't made or are well received or not so well received. They take out those frustrations on journalists. And I'm sorry, but combine it with some of the things and the really gross topics we were talking about just a few moments ago. I know a lot of journalist friends that are kind of like somewhere in that realm between really fucking annoyed and really fucking scared at what just happened. Because y'all know it. It happens on Twitch streams and that stuff all the time where that swatting bullshit happens, you know, because somebody thinks it's funny when it's not funny. And now they have like the addresses and telephone numbers of many big content creators and press people and so forth to be able to do that. It's scary. It's shocking. And it's fucking gross that the ESA ever allowed this to happen. This blows my mind. They're putting on one of the biggest tech shows in the industry. And this spreadsheet was out there for anyone to grab without if they just had the link, without a password, without some type of protection or encryption. What the fuck?
Well, on top of that, giving this information to any kind of vendor at all, just even making it remotely available for use, is by itself detestable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then having it be so poorly protected is just more like, let me pour some acid in that wound.
Tiger Claw in chat with a comment that I think ought to be addressed, because this is the logical place where my brain goes about this, you know, because we're thinking about, or at least I'm thinking about, oh, it's only a matter of time for the class action lawsuit. It is only a matter of time for the class action lawsuit. And this time, I don't think it's a frivolous thing. If there's a class action lawsuit on this, that is not a frivolous lawsuit. That is holding the ESA accountable for what they did. But Tiger Claw in chat over twitch.tv/VogNetwork with a, you know, comment that I think a lot of us are thinking, this is going to have a profound effect for E3 2020. Some of those gaming journalists will be hesitant on putting their info when registering for E3 again. There's already been a lot of questions in the air about the relevance of E3 and do we need E3? And now just add this onto that, where now journalists are going to give this a second thought about if they should even register. Now, I'm sure there'll be promises from the ESA about, you know, that they'll put, and they did put out a statement. Oh, let me read the statement from the ESA. ESA was made aware of a website vulnerability that led to the contact list of registered journalists attending E3 being made public. Once notified, we immediately took steps to protect that data and shut down the site, which is no longer available. We regret this occurrence and have measures in place to ensure it will not occur again.
But wait, made aware, like they designed the site. Well, we didn't know what was on our site or how it was formatted or anything like that. No, you can't claim that kind of negligence.
And a website vulnerability.
It like, was not a vulnerability. You just, you were stupid and didn't lock the door.
Yeah, it was a poor choice. As the great and wonderful and pure Tatiana once said, choices. And that's what went into that website design. Choices. Comments from chat. SSG100 Matt says, the gaming community, while great, such as VOG, can be vile sometimes, attacking devs, reviewers, etc., because they do not agree with them. You know, and I really want to truly believe that that is a case of the way too vocal minority. I think most gamers are pretty cool. You know, again, look at Evo. Look at, you know, some of the, like, positive stuff going on in gaming. There's a lot of positive things to talk about. Unfortunately, there's a lot of shitbags that bring it down for the rest of us. We all know that. Questbuster says, I've seen some replies that mentioned that the ESA was told of the vulnerability a month ago and did nothing. Yeah, that was one of the first replies I got to my tweet, because I tweeted about this in the middle of the night the other night, and that was one of the first replies I got, was that they've known this for a while and didn't do anything, which is just, you know, again, I don't know what all the facts are there yet, but if that is proven to be true, then that, I mean, the ESA is about to have a gigantic court battle on their hands, and especially if names and addresses of folks in Europe were a part of that, which I imagine it was. I didn't look at the list. I don't want to look at the list. I don't want to even encourage anybody to look for this list because it's not your fucking business. But assuming that there are, you know, media folks in Europe that were probably on that list, they're going to have a hell of a battle on their hands with this new Europe law. So and could that have a profound effect on E3? I seem to recall, correct me if I'm wrong, Chatters, co-hosts, I seem to recall just a couple months ago, there was a lot of questions and a lot of issues about the guy that's running the ESA right now. Wasn't that a thing that was going around in the news about the guy that's running it and some of his issues that are happening right now? This guy's going to pay for it with his job. Watch, that's my prediction. This guy's going to have to answer for it with his job. He has to. Anyway, let's see. Questbuster says the dump looks like it was just pulled straight from registration and not scrubbed, which is why the addresses were there, likely for badge mailings. Metal Mayhem says, scary thought. Given the social and political situation that's been enabled by the Cheeto in Chief, any of the journalists that happen to be not white or straight could be targeted, which is frightening. Yeah, thank you for getting it. Like, thank you as a white straight guy for getting it. Like, it is very scary. And that's why I'm like, thank God that I didn't go to E3 this year. And I honestly, in my gut, I'm like, were the previous year's spreadsheets up there? Because I'm a little worried. Let's see. Questbuster says, yeah, Bobby went through the tumult at the ESA a few episodes ago. I thought that was a thing. And Pixelpockets points out they don't mail press badges. You have to pick them up at the convention center. That's right. I do remember this being a thing. Oh, God, Pixelpockets, are you impacted by this? Did you go to E3 this year as media? If so, I'm like, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I would really love to know your thoughts. I know you have gone to some stuff as media before. Okay. Pixelpockets clarifies, I did not go to E3 this year. Fortunately, many of my friends did go. Yeah, many of mine did too. I know other indie podcasters that were there. I have other industry friends that went, and I feel for them. I'm like, what can I do but be fucking mad? Like, there's just, like, what can I do? What can any of us do? It's scary. It's a scary thought. I think a lot of the tips and things that are going around online, like, ensure you have two-factor authentication. You might want to change your phone number if you were using your personal phone number. Take some precautions in that regard. I think that's all very good advice. I think two-factor authentication, if you aren't a journalist, is a great thing to have on, like, you really should have it on, like, your email and your banking. If nothing else, everything comes back to your email. You can password reset everything with your email. Have your two-factor auth on your email, please. And your banking is probably pretty important, too. So if nothing else, I mean, I have 2FA or whatever you call it on everything. But, I mean, if nothing else, put it on those things. Speaking of gaming, you can do it on PlayStation Network. You can do it on Microsoft.
They pretty much force you with the PlayStation Network, I think.
I think they do. I don't remember if Nintendo has it. I don't think they do.
I don't think so.
No, go ahead.
By the way, just going back to the earlier thing before I forget, because actually AOC made a comment about the video game thing.
Oh, good. Yeah, I'd be curious about that. I know she's a polarizing people for some, but she goes on to video game streams, right?
Well, this is her tweet. Video games aren't causing mass shootings. White supremacy is. Sadly, the GOP refused to acknowledge that because their strategy relies on rallying a white supremacist base. That's why the president hosts stadiums of people chanting, send her back, and targets Congress members of color.
I will...
Mic drop.
Yeah, there's nothing to say to follow that. There's nothing to say. Let's see. Anyway, I'm not sure what else to say about this. It's just really, it's so frustrating. And again, it's like, I feel for my friends, and I'm like... How can I help you? If you need to stay at my place, you can stay at my place. Like, it's like one of those, like, I don't know. I hope it doesn't get that bad. But, I mean, it's just like now that's out there and it's on the internet. And when the next dippy thing happens where they decide to target gaming journalists for some bad opinion or something that they don't agree with, it's just like I'm so upset. And the ESA, this statement they put out, it's not good enough. And I think a lot of gamers need to make the ESA aware. I guess I could say this. You know, I know we don't have a gigantic fan base and listener base and so forth. We got a little something here. And we all know friends that are gamers as well. And I think we need to voice to the ESA that they need to do better. This is not a sufficient apology, what they've put out here. This is not sufficient. You know, what are they going to do to help protect these people that they've now exposed? What are detail? What are the steps they're going to take to make sure this doesn't happen again? How are they going to the best of their ability, stop the spread of this spreadsheet around further? We deserve details. We deserve better answers from a tech company. Jesus Christ. That's the most frustrating thing about this whole thing. Like, you're in technology and you let this happen. Barf. Sia Tabiri says, would having a P.O. box help protect? Do registrations for press badges permit you to list those instead of physical addresses? And Pixelpockets follows that up with, yes, you can list a P.O. box address. Technically, Vogue Network has that type of setup. So if we had registered, we would have been able to use that or whatever. But it doesn't, like, the fact that, oh, maybe it wouldn't have been as bad for us does not negate the severity of the crime, because, like, there have been years past. I think the first E3 was when you and I lived together, wasn't it, Loki? The first time we went to E3, you and I were still living together.
I think so, yeah.
So I think we put our address on the form and on the cards and everything, because we didn't, like, OLR wasn't registered as a business then. We weren't with All Games. We weren't with Vogue at the time. It was back in the Life 365 years, our first E3.
So, I don't remember.
Later on, I think we had other ways to do it, but that first year, yeah. So, ugh. Pixelpaka says there was a big level of trust from press to the ESA, and now that trust is demolished. I wonder if this is going to cause all media to sign up in person. I don't know if that really would have prevented it, but if media had signed up in person, then they wouldn't have been on a spreadsheet to go out to folks. Well, maybe they would have after the fact. I don't want to speak out of turn, but I would think it's going to cause a lot more people to just work more directly with game companies and not go through the ESA. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Anyway, Questbuster says a lot of streamers also use one to deal with their fans and go to a lot of lengths to avoid saying anything too personal. But the sheet essentially says exactly who these YouTube and streamers are who went. Yeah, and SJ100 Matt says, granted, you wouldn't have to use your address, but you'd have to use your real name, I imagine. You're right. If I had registered for a pass, it would have been under my real name. I think y'all know that no parent is cruel enough to name their kid Rob Roberts. It's a stage name. And, you know, that's who I am on the internet. That's my online identity. When I'm at my day job, I have a different name. I have the one I was born with. So it's different. And it's my right to keep those kind of two lives separate.
And that name is Mr. Rob.
That's Mr. Smoosh's dad. That's my name. Yeah. So anyway, actually, it's funny because, funny enough, you say that, I do teach classes. I'm a corporate trainer, and I do let folks in class call me Mr. Rob. So, because my real last name gets butchered a lot. That's all I'll say about that. So I let folks call me Mr. Rob. Anyway, very, very, very frustrating news, and not the most fun thing to start off the show with. But, you know, we need to hold the ESA accountable for this, and I hope next week we have more to say and they have more to say on this whole issue. So let's move on. Let's get into, like, some happier gaming news. I feel like this whole beginning of the show has been a downer. So let's talk about some happier news, hopefully, in your gaming week and some fun games that you've been playing this week. Dark Sakura, we'll start with you. How was your gaming week?
Other than the phone stuff, I was just playing Sims 4. Really just building houses and feeling crummy.
No elaborate death traps in The Sims?
No, because you can't drown them in... I just had an idea. What if I build walls around the pool,
mm-hmm.
and they can't climb out of the pool? Because they can climb out of the pool without the ladder now.
That was an upgrade in Sims 4?
So what if I put stoves all around the pool? What if I put the stove in the pool?
Why can't you just throw a toaster in the pool?
Because that doesn't work.
Oh.
But I could put stoves around it and then the walls, and so there'd actually be something blocking the edge of the.
Just lock them in walls. Just wall them in.
No, I don't want to have my other Sims live in a house filled with pee. Although I am trying to lock a Sim in there because I need a ghost in one of my houses I'm designing.
Have you thought about just having somebody that's like dead in the walls, and then like having a suburban family living in that house where there's like a body?
That's what I need to do.
Okay.
No,
but they'll like haunt the house. So.
But disturbing. I need this ghost to look a certain way, so I have to design the ghost and then leave the ghost in the wall, and then have its body there to haunt the other people in the house.
Happy Halloween, everybody!
This is Halloween. This is Halloween.
All right. Glad to know some things never change with The Sims. All right. Anyway, we'll move on. Loki, how was your gaming week?
I didn't really play anything. I did play laser tag again. I did film more of that, actually, and it actually came out decent.
Are they starting to recognize you now?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
They should. I mean, they're not very organized, though. Like, I like was asking today about their membership thing, and they're like, I don't know. They'll ask the owner. And so the owner was there today, and so I asked him, and he's like, he had to, like, think about it for a sec, and then, like, pulled out this binder and, like, was, like, flipping through it, and he's like, I don't know where the pamphlet is, but he's going to email it to me, and I don't even know. Like,
wow, way to make sales. That's,
I know. It's, yes. Like, it's like, you have, like, if you don't know what the membership thing is about, maybe don't put a page dedicated to it on your fucking website. You know, that's just common sense, I would think. Like, it says, it literally says, come ask us about the membership. So I come ask them every time I'm there, and they're like, I don't fucking know what you're talking about. And so, like, I'm just, what the fuck? I don't understand. It's so, whatever. It is what it is. But I'm just curious. Like, I just, like, what? Because I know you can, like, at the very least, we can get our names logged in. And so instead of using the gun names, because unlike, you know, Qzar, which use, like, numbers and colors, each gun has, like, a name to it. So there's actually,
like, an agent name.
There's actually a Loki gun there, but it sucks, so I don't play it. But there's, you know, they have, like, Thor and Racer and, like, all sorts of weird names. But so if you scan it,
can you be Loki even though there's already a Loki?
I'm probably not going to be Loki. I'll just be Loki OLR, probably.
Oh, okay. Do you have a different, like, age? Do you have a different gun? Is your gun personality, your light gun personality, is that different from, you know, your online video game personality?
No,
maybe you have a different.
All the same.
Okay.
So yeah, I would probably do something like that. And I don't know, but like today we did 3 hours, and that's a bit much. And I was talking with the kids. I'm like, you know, maybe we should just take a break from this next week because we've been there an awful lot, and it's expensive, so may just kind of cut back on that. I had the good intention of publishing what I had of It's Time to Car. Unfortunately, when I moved to this laptop, apparently back in 2017, the backups I had were months old from the current one. I am missing an entire level in it, and they're broken. They are missing things. I can restore some of them that have the first three levels in it, but it's just not the same. That last level was just fucking weird, and that really kind of encapsulated the whole thing. So I'm probably not going to end up doing that. Although, ironically, I've been asked by the owner of the place that we go to for my son's coding class to teach a Unity class. That is silly.
Wait. Can you say that again?
Yes.
You, the creator of Zero Games in Unity, have now been asked to teach a Unity class for children. Okay, Loki's going to be teaching children about a thing he's never really used to completion. Is that? Am I understanding this correctly?
I've used it enough, but.
All right. That is like me coaching football, but all right, go off.
So
like, I've played Tecmo Bowl. I understand the rules of football.
Exactly. And I don't think it's supposed to be like anything in depth. It's supposed to be just a few classes, not necessarily like this is a full in-depth course of like Unity. You're going to learn all about it and everything. It's more of just like, we're going to make a quick game, a project or whatever, and then that's it. Get your feet wet in. Because really, when they get into Unity, it's like several belts later. Like, most of the kids are on just like JavaScript and like intermediate JavaScript, and then like to get to Unity is probably a couple of years away from them. So it's just going to be like kind of a crash course, and like, here's what you're doing in JavaScript, here's what C# is, you know, here's how you use Unity. We'll set you up with something that, you know, you can build some stuff for like different gameplay aspects, and then, you know, run with it, and you can rearrange stuff to build your own levels or something simple is the plan.
Okay. I think that's...
But no, I completely understand your hesitation, which was also my hesitation because I was like, yes, I'm interested, but I haven't really created anything with it. I don't have a lot of formal training.
Maybe
this
will finally light the fire under your ass to finish. Like, I especially guess. Especially something you can do with your kid, you know?
I guess. But, yeah, it would be more targeted towards, like, older kids, like 12 and up type thing. So,
Well, your oldest just turned 9, right?
Yeah.
He's getting there.
So, it would be...
Happy birthday.
Yeah. It'd be interesting. I'm looking forward to trying that. When that's going to happen?
All right.
But I have to build out a concept for that game in order to be able to teach that.
Okay.
I have an idea, but I need to, like, simplify it.
All right. All right. Well, if that's it for your gaming week.
That's it.
My gaming week. So my video game play has still been hampered a little bit because the Survivor LARP still going. Guess what, everybody? I am still in it. And there are 6 people left as of today, starting from 22.
Wow. Congratulations.
I know, right? It's crazy. I've collected some votes along the way. There was a huge tribal this week, and everybody thought I was leaving. Everybody thought I was leaving. And there was I have to watch what I say about it because I don't know who's watching. But I can really only say what's kind of like publicly known. But basically, like, there was a big play, and somebody else left instead with 2 immunity idols in his pocket. So it was, yeah, it was a big.
How do you leave with immunity idols?
Because you have to. So I don't. Have you watched Survivor like ever or like recently?
No.
Okay. So they.
Because I thought if you had the immunity idol, okay, you would be
so
immune.
In the competitions, you win an immunity necklace and they can't vote for you. But in later seasons of Survivor, I think the first one was in Guatemala, the 12th season. So what started happening is that they would hide immunity idols basically on the island, and you would get clues to these idols. If you find one, you can play it after the votes have been cast but before they've been read. So if you think that everybody's targeting you, goes a chance where Mr. Jeff Probst will go, if anybody has a hidden immunity idol and they want to play it, now is the time. And so somebody will pull out the idol and says, well, Jeff, here's this idol that I have in my pocket, and now the votes for me tonight don't count. So if, like, let's say everybody on the tribe voted for you and you voted against, like, Jamie or something, then all the votes against me does not count. And then the last vote would say, Jamie, you've been voted out. You have to go. Bye, girl. I'm just kidding. She'd never play Survivor.
No, I would not.
So
that would be like the what would you say to show you had been kidnapped? I'm playing Survivor.
So anyway, so he had 2 of them because he collected them throughout the game. And he wasn't the first. There was another girl that was on the other tribe that apparently was voted out with 1 as well. So, like, this has been a big game about blindsiding people. So it's been very interesting. But anyway, so without saying too much and watching my mouth, there's 6 people left. It is going to be done by – so here's the weird thing. The finale is supposed to be a week from tonight. But I told them at the very beginning – I cannot do Sunday nights because I have this show. So if by some miracle of God, I actually am in the final 2, they're going to have to move it because of this show. And they already know that. So they're going to have to do it either on Monday.
And you're getting voted because
earlier. Yeah. And I'm going to lose because I'm not here. So I don't know. We'll see. So everybody cross your fingers and your toes. But the good news is, if you're sick of hearing me talk about this game, it is over 1 week from tonight because there's just not enough people left. So yeah, but it's been going for over 40 days. Anyway, some late breaking news over in chat. SSG100 Matt talking about what's happening on Evo. Tekken 7 Season 3, the trailer was shown for some new characters. And SSG100 Matt says Zafina and Leroy Smith, who was an original character, are the new characters in Tekken 7. So fun. That's pretty cool. I wanted to see if there was any crossover characters they were going to do there. So anyway. Other games. I have had a little time, you know, the Survivor thing, because it's an individual game, like, you know, the competitions are a little different now, so it's not quite as much time that I'm burning. So I have been able to play a little bit of games, but I've been playing mostly Final Fantasy 14 still, working my way through the expansion. I just did the level 77 dungeon last night, and so, yeah, still making my way through the expansion, which I still love, although I will say the quests leading up to that 77 dungeon were probably the lowest point yet. It was a little bit dry. The story was not as great in that zone, but I'm expecting it will pick back up, and that's certainly not a negative review. I'm still really enjoying the expansion overall. And of course, the cell phone games. I did Pokemon Go Community Day yesterday, which, you know, I haven't been able to do the last couple because they've been on a Sunday. But yesterday was 100 degrees Fahrenheit here in Sac, So there was no way I was going to play outside. So we drove to the mall, Arden Mall here, and we tried playing in there. Total bust. Like,
yeah, the Wi-Fi or the GPS is not like
malls. And everything in there is a gym, and there's not enough spawn points. And the reason why it's bad that they're a gym is that you can't lure them. So it's just – it really wasn't good.
The Galleria would be better.
Yeah, we should have driven out all the way to the Galleria because I've done a community day at the Galleria and it was much better. But
the GPS doesn't work well in there either.
Yeah, we didn't want to drive all the way out there. So we played there for about an hour before we were like, this sucks. And so we got in the car and I just turned on my Bluetooth and let the gotcha do the catching. And we just slowly drove through downtown safely. I didn't do anything risky, but we slowly drove through downtown and we drove around the Capitol in my nice air conditioned car. And we saw a ton of people, like a ton of people were still out, not bothered by the heat. They wanted their shiny Ralts. So good for them. And I did end the day with 4 shiny Ralts. So not bad.
And
for
I still
playing.
Need to trade for my daily goal.
Okay. Remind me at some point. We'll do a trade.
Okay.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. So, anyway, and then I played a little bit of the Harry Potter thing because there's an event going on in that too, and I'm trying to collect the green books. But that's all I'll say about that. So let's get into some more gaming news. I don't think there's anything else for me to say right now. Housekeeping things. There will be no show Labor Day weekend, and there will be no live show the weekend before. So since we are in August, there's really only going to be 3 live shows this month. We will be – our last live show this month will be the 17th because – I'm sorry. I'm mathing wrong.
18th.
Sorry, the 18th. Our last live show this month will be the 18th because the 25th I will already be out of town. I'm leaving for Dragon Con early this year to go hang out with my buddy Extifer. I'm sure you all can understand. I miss my friend, so I want to go hang out. And I've never been to the town where he lives. So.
And next weekend for me is Weird Al.
Yeah. So and you won't be here next week. But
because Weird Al.
You will. Yeah, which is – honestly, Bobby missed his show for Weird Al, so now you're missing this one for Weird Al, so it makes sense. But you will be here on the 18th.
Mm-hmm.
And then what we're planning to do, we're going to record earlier in the week for the 25th, and we'll be doing a lot of listener questions on that episode. So stay tuned for Twitter and all that. We'll get some stuff out there because we want to, you know, since we won't have as much news because it'll be partway through the week, we really want to digest some of your questions and answer some of those gaming questions you might have.
And September 1st. Is my 14th anniversary, mine and Dan's anniversary.
Well, congrats.
So well, if I don't bring him here, I may not be here.
There is no show. DragonCon.
Oh, that's right. Duh.
Yeah, DragonCon's that weekend.
Well,
so
bring me back something.
I will. Whatever. Let me know what you want. We'll do that. So yeah, we're going to be not live for 2 weeks. So sorry to our Twitch crew who shows up. Bobby will be here on the 25th. So you will have something to watch that night because he is – not doing the pre-trip, just the Dragon Con trip, but nothing will be live that week. However, we're exploring what we can do at Dragon Con. Not going to promise a live thing. I don't think that's really in the cards, but could we maybe record something? Or we'll see. We're thinking about it. So stay tuned for that. I think I'm also allowed to say, speaking of Dragon Con, I will be on... I think I'm allowed to say this now, so I'm hoping I'm not speaking out of turn. Tentatively, I'm on 7 panels at Dragon Con this year.
Do they stream those out, the panels?
Actually, yes. I'm glad you asked. The digital media track. So the podcasting track is now the digital media track, and they will be streaming all of those panels on Twitch. So even though there's no OLR that weekend, you will get to see myself, 6 of the panels, but I don't... They're only streaming the ones in room 6, not in room 7, because there's actually 2 rooms.
Mm.
I think most of my panels are in room 6.
I was going to say we could auto-host that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. Voggle hosts the media track for sure. But we will need to – we'll let you guys know the schedule because Bobby is on some that I'm not on and vice versa. So there'll be a lot of stuff for you guys to watch from Dragon Con. So, yeah, they will be streaming some panels that weekend. So at least you can get a little fill and get some good topics. So, yeah, stay tuned for that. SG100 Matt says, wow, 7. Yeah, I'm really, really lucky this year. I guess I'm okay to say – I really hope I'm not speaking out of turn. So I'm just going to say tentatively, the biggest panel I'm going to be doing at Dragon Con probably this year because it's in a ballroom – I will be your moderator for the voice actors from World of Warcraft panel at Dragon Con this year, and I'm really jazzed about it because obviously WoW is a game near and dear to my heart from hosting Horde House for years and years. So yeah, I'm really excited about that panel. So stay tuned. I don't know if that one will be streamed, unfortunately, because that is on a different track. That is on the gaming track, and I don't think they stream all their panels. But we'll see. Never say never. So yeah, really excited. Anyway, let's move on and talk about some other gaming news that's going on in the industry. Loki.
So the Sony PlayStation 4 has hit 100 million units shipped. So it's apparently the it was faster than the PlayStation 2 and Wii to hit that amount. And right now, apparently, that the Switch is reaching 36.87 million, tracking in line with the PlayStation 4. So it'll eventually hit 100 million, probably in around the same time period. But interesting to see how well it's doing. I mean, don't really think about how many units are being sold nowadays. It's kind of like looking at the PlayStation 5 coming up. So,
well, but that's interesting. You know, a lot of us consider like the PlayStation 4 is like sunsetting. It's on its way out. I mean, there might still be a few games that interest us, like Death Stranding and the 7 remake and all that. So I think there's still a lot of interest in PlayStation 4. But you're right. Like a lot of us kind of stop thinking about how much that sells because most of the gaming enthusiasts, such as us and many of you guys, but not all you guys, have probably already picked up a PlayStation 4. But we all know that budget gamers – gamers that, you know, can't necessarily drop hundreds of dollars on a console, looking for things, you know, to come down in price and so forth. Like, this is the time in the gaming generation where I think some people finally get on board because there's such a rich library of cheap games that have been out for a few years, and the price of the PlayStation 4s are coming down and down and down, you know, as the gaming enthusiasts who tend to buy the new technology are starting to shift their focus towards the PlayStation 5. So there's definitely an audience still for PlayStation 4, absolutely. And there will continue to be, you know. I'm sure there's people – in fact, I thought I knew somebody recently that said they had recently bought an Xbox 360 at a game – like a used gaming outfit, like a flea market, you know, that type of thing. Bought an Xbox 360, and I was like, cool. There's tons of Xbox 360 games out there waiting for you to play. Like, there's a great library of games on there. You're going to have a good time. And, you know, the secondhand market for games, and if you want to get
digital games.
They're
dirt cheap.
It's dirt cheap. There's a lot to buy. So, heck yeah. Like, you know, I really believe even if you have to come late to the party because of financial situations or whatever, you're still a gamer. Like, what makes you a gamer? Criteria one, loves to play video games. End of list, right? So, you know, if you're late to the party, you're still a gamer to me. So, yeah, I think that's cool that some people will still be able to get on board with PlayStation 4. But, yes, I'm sure a lot of us are now shifting focus to PlayStation 5. Do we know kind of, like, comparatively, like, where's Xbox One at compared to this 100 million number for PlayStation 4?
Good question. So,
while you look that up, we have more breaking news coming out of
EVO. It's a really small... Actually, funny enough, the Xbox One is not listed on this at
all.
Well,
is it because they're not out in Japan? That could be a thing.
No, this is from like an analyst that they have like it charted out.
Let me correct myself. Xbox One is out in Japan. We just all know it's a non-issue.
But yeah, the Xbox One is not shown here. The 360 is shown on here, but not Xbox One.
Interesting. All right. So, breaking news, more out of EVO, because they're showing a lot of trailers as things are wrapping up for the night. ARC System, ARC System, just showed a trailer for a new Guilty Gear game coming in 2020. So that'll be exciting. I know a lot of fans of Guilty Gear. And maybe that's something we'll see played at next year's EVO. We'll see about that. SG100 Matt saying that he's looking at the animation style. It looks good. It's a combination of 2D hand-drawn and like the 3D Street Fighter V stuff. Sounds cool. Looking forward to it. All right, so let's move on with some more news and talk a little bit about, hey, speaking of like streaming and Twitch and stuff like that, this is pretty big news. Now, I don't watch this guy personally just because I prefer to watch friends and acquaintances and Twitter peeps and all that do streaming, but I know this guy does have a lot of people that watch him, and so this is going to be some big, interesting results from this. And it is Ninja, real name Tyler Blevins, which is... not me doxing him. That's a well-known fact that that's his name. So Ninja has made a deal to leave Twitch and made a whole video that was on his Twitter and stuff that he will now be exclusive on Mixer, which is the Twitch competitor of sorts that is owned by Microsoft. And I think they have been trying very hard to leave a footprint of sorts in the streaming universe. I know that Mixer is the place to kind of watch the Xbox press conferences and so forth, and you get your little mix pots and you do that and all that. But this is a pretty big deal. It's a big deal because, you know, we say it's just one person leaving for Mixer. But love him or hate him, Ninja has a gigantic audience. He is one of the largest streamers on Twitch right now. Well, now on Mixer as of this announcement, but you know what I mean. And I think that's important because, like, I know I saw a YouTube clip where this guy was on The Ellen Show, and he was, like, the face of the streaming community, right?
Yeah.
And now when he goes on to these big talk shows, and he puts on his own fucking Fortnite thing, right? He had his own, like, festival or things like that, right?
Yeah, and he also was at the New Year's thing that they had.
Yeah, so. that they were, like, advertising and stuff.
Yeah,
this guy's big enough to have his own fucking festival. But now he's going to be pimping Mixer. You know, and I'm sure Microsoft paid him a pretty penny to do it. But, well, let me ask this question first. I'll ask of chat and ask of you guys. We don't know how much because that's all in secret. But do you think Microsoft made a good move by assumably paying him a hefty sum of money to move to Mixer?
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, I think it's a smart move. I don't want to call it a desperate move, but it's definitely a move where you see Microsoft is like, we have to do something big. And so this is, you also kind of have to wonder, is there anybody else? Is Microsoft looking at anybody else? And let me just shut those rumors down right now. It's not us.
Although no one's looking at us.
Come on.
I don't know.
We'll pay you $1.
I like money, though.
Well, you saying. Do have a very attractive offer.
But no, we're doing more than okay right here on Twitch, thanks to your subscriptions on Twitch Prime, and thanks to all your biddies and things like that. We're not. I'm just making a joke. It's not something we're looking at right now. But it's interesting because even though I do love Twitch and support Twitch, and I stream on Twitch even as a personal person and as well as VOG Network, and I put some effort in this, I can still say this is really exciting news from my perspective, because I think a little bit of competition and a little bit of, like, challenging Twitch's dominance is a good thing.
Yeah.
Because it's going to motivate Twitch to maybe do some other things to, you know, a little bit faster. Like the co-streaming thing, which I think is still only partners only. I think a lot of us would really love to see that open up where it's, you know, more people can do those types of streams. I mean, hello. When Mario Maker finally allows you to do those player levels online, I would love to co-stream with people on that. You know, my buddies like VG Realness and stuff, or Bobby Blackwolf or something. I think we could have a lot of fun with things like that. So, you know, if I wanted to do it on Mixer, I could do it right now. So that is a thing that, you know, Twitch doesn't have yet. It has it for partners, again, reiterating. So, and I know they're planning to open it up to more, but I think this might maybe light the fire a little bit to try to push some of those features out maybe a little faster. I don't know. Let's go to you guys in chat with some comments. Questbuster says Microsoft needs all the help it can get to boost Mixer. Tiger Claw says Ninja will provide a lot of exposure for a lot of Microsoft's own games. You know he'll get access to those exclusives before anyone else. Very good thought. I mean, Ninja is mostly known as a Fortnite guy, but Microsoft is invested in PUBG, aren't they? I don't remember if they're – are they invested? It just seems like a lot of PUBG stuff happens on Microsoft stuff. So would Ninja be playing some of these other games? Possibly. I wonder if that would be a thing. Tiger Claw says Ninja is mostly known for playing Fortnite, but no doubt he'll play the new Halo game. Oh, I'm sure. Questbuster says he debuted on Mixer with somewhere between 60 to 70,000 people watching, if I recall correctly. That's a pretty big deal. And SG100 Matt says also competition brings about innovation. Maybe this will push Twitch to innovate. And I don't think it's that like Twitch hasn't innovated. Like if I wasn't happy with Twitch, I wouldn't be here right now. But, you know, I like this idea that it's maybe going to push it a little. It's going to needle them a little more and a little faster to respond to some of those things that Mixer maybe has on them right now. So. Questbuster, responding to the Halo thing, says, interestingly, Halo is where Ninja cut his FPS teeth before his Fortnite fame. Very interesting. So, anyway, and Bonds 006 says, I'm waiting for OLR's new address to be One Microsoft Way in Redmond, Washington. No, I don't. Again, I don't really see that happening anytime soon, but bless your heart for thinking we have that kind of pull. So, anyway, yeah, very. We'll see what develops with this. I want to I'm so curious to see what Twitch does. I would see maybe something where it would make a lot of sense where either Twitch and Sony or Twitch and Nintendo are going to form some type of allyship. I mean, granted, Sony and Nintendo both broadcast, you know, their things on Twitch. Actually, I feel like Nintendo's always been a little more YouTube. They kind of link their YouTube directs directly and all that stuff. But Nintendo's certainly done the press conferences and things. So maybe there'll be some type of allyship with Sony. Who knows? I mean, I'm just, you know, if Mixer is a Microsoft thing, maybe it would behoove Twitch to form a, you know, agreement, a working agreement or whatever you want to call it, with Sony to try to see what they can explore together and do. So, Oh, anyway. Metal Mayhem says, in fairness, if Ninja's audience is mostly kids that like Fortnite, if Ninja plays other games, is his audience going to give a shit? I think, yeah, there would be enough, right? Even if he got 10% of that viewership he had for his first stream. I mean, I'm sure he would bring in a lot more.
For some people, yeah, because there's a lot of kids that will emulate what they see on YouTube. Like, if some YouTuber is doing something, they'll want to do the same thing.
Well, you know this firsthand, right?
Yes, I do know this firsthand. So, yeah, I mean, to a certain extent, yes. You may have some people that are like, no, I'm not going to do that. But if there's a streamer having fun with a game and, you know, they watch him and see that he's having fun with a game, then they might be more inclined to try that game. Which, I mean, that kind of goes with a lot of people that I watch. So, yeah, I could totally see that being a thing. It's only going to be positive.
Just to put some things in perspective, some things from these news articles I wanted to share. According to Streamlabs data, because Streamlabs kind of watches, you know, a lot of what's going on. And Streamlabs is the way how, like, if you do a host or you donate bits, the little ticker on the bottom of the screen will update. For those of you watching on Twitch, the little ticker updates with that. So that way we don't have to stop our show to keep calling out. We do that at the end instead. So Streamlabs is from that. So I know they watch a lot of feeds. But Streamlabs says Twitch was watched nearly 23 times as much as Mixer in the second quarter of 2019. That's pretty big. 23 times as much. Now, Twitch did put out a statement, right? They have to respond to this, and they said something very tactful. They said, "We've loved watching Ninja on Twitch over the years and are proud of all that he's accomplished for himself and his family and the gaming community. We wish him the best of luck in his future endeavors." And then they promptly pulled his verified check mark, which is true. He no longer has the little verified check mark on his channel. They pulled that same day. So interesting. But I mean, it might look like a dick thing to do, but, like, business is business, right? You know, that he basically flew the coop. That's how they
should delete his channel, though.
No, you don't want to delete the channel. Yeah. That's a little much. Maybe. But, you know, that's it. He's not going to be pushed in search results or anything like that anymore, I'm sure. So, that's funny. Nifty in chat says, Twitch is a classy X. I like that. Twitch is a classy X. All right, let's move on. Let's move on to our next story. Dark Sakura, what do you have for us?
Well, just when we thought SNK couldn't do anything else cryptic, they did. SNK Global put out a tweet, and it says, a next-gen Neo Geo hardware is coming after Neo Geo Mini with a modern design and a wonderful play feeling. And you can even link it to Neo Geo Mini. The new hardware will provide you a Neo Geo journey that you have never experienced. I think this might be a translation, but who knows what the hell this is. They haven't really said anything other than teasing, but something compatible with Neo Geo Mini. Weird. This is all they had to say. So this is really just speculation. I mean, the thing that's a little bit more interesting to me is that they are specifically stating it will work with the Neo Geo Mini. So maybe this is just a little bit more to try to get people to buy it.
Maybe it's like some type of like expansion pack with new games. Maybe something that like plugs in. I don't know. I'm reaching.
Maybe
but
it actually
maybe
has
something.
Good emulation.
Maybe. Or maybe something that would allow them. Maybe they have a repository of games that, oh, maybe it would be something that they could sell other games piecemeal or something.
Next gen.
I guess that's true, huh? I don't know.
Unless they're referring to next gen for Neo Geo software, which would be the Neo Geo 64 stuff or whatever the fuck it was called.
Are you suggesting a Neo Geo?
Neo Geo-er.
Yes, it's Neo Geo-er. I don't know. What would you? You've played more Neo Geo than probably anybody else here because you actually owned one.
Yeah.
So what would you like to see them do? Do you think SNK should get back into hardware?
I want the be all end all AVS cartridge. I want them to release that as a special thing for everyone who still owns an AVS.
What about, like, speaking of arcade machines, hey, those arcade 1-Up things are all the rage, right? What about, like, a cabinet or something for, like, Neo Geo games, like a little mini cabinet, like those arcade 1-Ups for your Neo Geo games? That would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, they but I've totally played one that. Of those arcade 1-Ups, and they're kind of hard. Hmm.
They should totally do that and just have it set up like the AVS 4 systems where you can buy the individual cartridges and plop them in and be able to switch through them.
And I hope the cartridges still cost $400.
Why you gotta ruin everything?
Sorry, can't resist. Those cards, for those of you guys, and you know, some of you I know weren't really, you know, around or in the video game scene when Neo Geo was the thing, but seriously, look at how gigantic those Neo Geo cartridges were. Like, they were like the size of a shoebox.
Like maybe a VHS cassette or something.
Yeah, more yeah, like a VHS
that's, okay,
cassette.
Okay, that's a good way to put it. Like an entire VHS
actually,
cassette.
Actually, it's a little, if you held the cartridge up at full height and turned a VHS cassette on its horizontal edge, it would be just about as long, but probably another half as tall, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And we've got a few. I mean, the one that we paid, probably the last one Dan and I bought was KOF 2000, and we paid $325 for the cartridge. And that was actually a steal when that one came out. It was actually one of the lowest priced ones. Actually, I take that back. We paid $295 for it, and that's how we got it, because it was originally $375. But we've got like, I wouldn't say a handful, because one is a handful, maybe two, but we've got like a shelf full. Maybe.
I used to have a 48-in-1 bootleg card that I got with my arcade machine, my Astro City, when I bought it, because I had an MVS for that as well. But I gave it to Bobby. Wanted to give him the super gun. So I don't have it anymore.
All right. Well, let's move on. We have some more stories for you guys before we get to our walk down memory lane and our classic segment for this week. But first, Loki.
So apparently somebody has taken the trouble to go ahead and port Diablo to the web. So you can actually play it in a web browser. So this is done thanks to the Devolution team. I love that name. So they actually have a GitHub that's talking about it, where they basically ported over everything, including all of the glitches and bugs that were in it before. If you're interested in checking it out, you can actually play it at diablo.rivsoft.net. It does require that you actually have a copy of the game if you want to play the full game. So you actually have to find your diabdat.mpq file to drag into the browser window so they can verify you have it. Or you can buy it on GOG for $10. Or they do have the shareware version available that you can play as well, and you can download that. But it's all playable within the browser. Pretty cool.
Huh.
Good way to kill time.
Yeah, but you have to have that original file still. I'm sure it's not floating around on the internet on some, dark website out there somewhere.
It's only $10, yeah.
I think that's probably their way of like being like, well, we're not really letting you know, giving the game away. You still have to prove you own the game, but you know, wink wink, right?
So yeah.
I will say though, if you've been playing like Diablo 3 or even Diablo 2, going back to the original Diablo is not easy, because I bought the original Diablo when it came out recently, like for $10, and you know, it's fun. I like playing it as a piece of gaming history and all that, but it's...
Was that the remaster that they did, or...?
Yeah, that minor remaster they did, but it's not really remastered. It's just like, it runs in better resolutions.
We polished
some
of the sprites up.
I wouldn't even say they did
that. We polished the resolution?
No. They
re-released it?
No, Loki. They let it run in a larger window than it used to run in. That's pretty much what it was. All right. Yeah. So it still looks as blocky as ever. But, I mean, it's fun. Don't get me wrong. It's still fun, but it's just, you know... It is a game that shows its age a little more compared to something like Diablo 3 that has a lot of the quality of life improvements and so forth. So, Metal Mayhem says, why would you play it on the web when you already have it on your PC? Because
you can.
Why do people install Linux on their refrigerators? Because they can, right? That's why they do it. Anyway. All right, moving on. This is kind of an interesting new thing that Nintendo's doing. It's like they're stepping into the modern era when it comes to online a little bit. Nintendo has announced they are testing out game trials. It will allow you to play a full-price game for free for a few days if you have the Nintendo Online program. So the first game that was announced for this is Mario Tennis Aces. It will be running from the 7th of August through the 13th of August. And if you liked what you played, you can go right on over to the eShop and get a 33% discount to buy the full game. Again, that's all only available if you have the Nintendo Switch Online membership. This is something that Microsoft's done, like free weekends, right? And Steam yeah. does this too. So it's just Nintendo is kind of joining in on this as well. I want to say I felt like they did this once with Splatoon. I don't even know if it was the beta. I feel like they did like a thing mid Splatoon 2, or maybe it was the first one, where you could kind of play it for free one weekend, and then it was like, hey, you can buy it. But now it seems like Nintendo is going to make this a regular thing. But again, if you have the Switch online.
Are they going to limit the number of plays like they did with their demos, because that was fucking dumb?
It's not in the statement. I mean, I guess we don't really know until it's out, but I do think that was a 3DS thing, and the Switch doesn't really load the software the same way as
they
the 3DS.
They did it with the Wii U as well.
Did they?
Yeah.
No, you're right. They did. They did.
It's a stupid thing.
Yeah. Well, maybe they will. I don't know. But, I mean, even with 25 plays, that's a lot of plays.
I know, but it's fucking dumb.
Yeah. Darts at Tuya says, yeah, I think that was the Splatoon demo. I know they did that for Splatoon too. Darts at Tuya says, in Japan, I believe they get Captain Toad for their program. Yeah, I should point out this story that I just read is from a Nintendo UK update, but I think I heard it was going to be in the US as well. So, you know, keep an eye out. I'm sure Nintendo will post confirmation on the Nintendo US Twitter next week if that's the direction they're going in. But it's still worth noting that they are doing this, even if they don't do it in North America right away, that they're doing it in other places. So we'll see. Stay tuned, I imagine, on Monday. Or maybe it is a test that they're not doing here yet. They want to see how it does in Europe and Japan first. Who knows? But I think it's still noteworthy to note that they're going in that direction. So, all right, let's move on. Dark Sakura has more on Nintendo, right?
I do. So Nintendo is going to be holding a Game Expo in Kyoto, and it will be Nintendo Live 2019 Kyoto. How's that for an apt name? Last year's, of course, was in Tokyo, and guess where it was? It was in Tokyo. Just saying. But at any rate, they're going to have game tournaments, events, demos. They are among the stage events. They're going to do a Splatoon music show and a Super Mario Maker 2 stage show with a comedy duo called Yoiko. There's going to be tournaments in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, Splatoon 2, Super Mario Maker 2. And there will be winners of a Labo contest that will be on display. They didn't say what the demos are going to be yet, but we'll see what happens. But yeah, Nintendo does their own thing. They're like, screw Tokyo Game Show. Fuck it. But they have our own thing.
But they haven't always done their own thing.
No.
You know, they had, what, Nintendo Universe one year or something like that, but they don't always do it. So it is interesting that they're doing it this year for whatever
reason.
They've
got reasons.
Yeah.
But at any rate, it will be October 13th and 14th at the Kyoto International Conference Center.
I would imagine that it's probably going to be the first playable Animal Crossing.
Oh, God, I hope so.
It'll probably be that. Because that's only going to be, what, like 5 months away from the release of Animal Crossing?
I want it now.
I know you do, but, you know.
I want the world.
You can go to Japan and play it early, maybe.
Pay for my ticket.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Dark Tetsuya says, what was Space World? I'm sorry. It was Space World. I don't know what Nintendo Universe was. I made that up. But Space World was the thing I was thinking of.
But Nintendo Universe does sound pretty cool.
It does sound pretty cool. Sounds like should be their new console. I don't know. Patent pending. Anyway. So, yeah. We'll see. Does Nintendo have something else next March? Because Pokemon will almost be out. So maybe they'll probably have some playable Pokemon stuff too, for sure. Because they're going to be pushing Sword and Shield. Did Nintendo date anything else for March next year? I feel like everybody was dating
Animal Crossing and becoming out shortly after that.
No, Animal Crossing's March.
Oh, is it March?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, it's Pokemon that's out shortly after that. So Pokemon would seem like, surely, it's part of the event as well.
Zelda.
I mean, they might unveil something new. There might be a surprise. I mean,
it's Pikmin 5.
Who knows?
It's Luigi's Mansion 4. Let's make more sequels for those games.
Questbuster also points out that Nintendo is also going to be at Gamescom. That's not terribly surprising, but I imagine they're going to bring a similar setup to what they had at E3 and what's been traveling around the country with the Nintendo experience that they had at the State Fair, which I missed out on, and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see. I would have gone to the state fair, but I ended up being out of town for the last week.
Yeah.
With that surprise trip. So anyway. All right. Moving on, Loki.
So there's some more Labo VR support now for Captain Toad Treasure Tracker. So apparently with the version 1.3.0 update, you're able to actually play a version of the game that is compatible with that. So you have the stereoscopic 3D, and you can rotate around the different levels in a 360-degree view. I don't know. It's cool that they added that. They didn't have to do that, but like, this is not going to catch on. It really isn't. The Mario Odyssey stuff was kind of okay. It wasn't very good. I haven't tried the Legend of Zelda stuff, but I hear that's not good, and I can't imagine that this is going to be that great. The games themselves are all right, the Labo VR stuff, but I don't know. That Labo stuff just kind of, it gets boring pretty fast, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's cool that they went back and they patched in the support to try to, like, you know, I like it when Nintendo tries to bring more value to their old games and, you know, titles that have been out a little bit with, like, a surprise patch or something. But is this really added value? Because it didn't end up that way in the other
ones. Well, I'm assuming that this stuff is probably not flying off store shelves anymore. If you can find a version of Labo, like, if you want to check it out, the VR stuff, I'd recommend getting just that $40 one with the, like, blaster gun thing. That was actually probably one of the more fun games that they had in there. That'd probably be worth your money if you can get it cheaper than $40, which I think is what the retail is on it now. Maybe when it drops down to 20, might not be a bad deal. But yeah, definitely don't buy it for Captain Toad's Treasure Tracker. Ugh, no.
I did finally see one of those things on the shelf the other day, though, because, you know, they were hard to get for a while, but now they seem to be a little more available.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. Well, let's move on. And something that is not going to be available much longer is the YouTube app on the 3DS. It will be closing on September 3rd, 2019. So if you are still using your 3DS for YouTube, which, you know, I can't imagine there's a lot of people, but I could see, like, maybe, like, kids, you know, your kids have,
if they didn't have TVSs. A tablet, but yeah.
Okay, but they have another device that they can use.
Yeah.
And I guess a lot of folks probably do in that situation. So Nintendo did confirm that YouTube will no longer be available to download or function after September 3rd. And apparently the app has been having issues for a while anyway, as I'm sure YouTube has been doing their own upgrades and things behind the scenes. Maintaining the 3DS and as a platform is probably not their highest priority. As Dark Tetsuya puts it in our chat at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork, if you needed any more proof that the 3DS is on the way out, you're looking at it. Yep, it's another kind of nail in the coffin, right? So, see ya. YouTube app is available on the Switch, which I imagine a lot of people are, you know, they're nudging them to upgrade to, especially with the Switch Lite soon on the way. I think Nintendo would just love it if you replace your 3DS with one of those devices if you must have YouTube. But like you said, a lot of people have a tablet. A lot of people do YouTube on their phones. I imagine it was probably mostly kids with 2DSs at this point that were probably still using YouTube. So SG100 Matt says, to be honest, the YouTube app on 3DS was kind of bad to begin with, and they didn't really provide updates to it. So no big loss, I guess, for a lot of people. But I'm sure there's going to be that one person out there that was like, but I was using it. And they'll be sad. But hopefully they'll find a new device to do their YouTubes on. All right, let's take a step back in time. Let's go back to games that are still out and are still available, and yes, things that can still be played if you find this at a flea market. We're going to take a trip down memory lane with the classic game of the week. Every week, Dark Soccer steps into the gaming vault and finds a game that she thinks, hey, you guys should check this shit out. But once a month, in a 2019 twist, once a month, Dark Soccer instead highlights a soundtrack. Yep. In fact, this year it's 8-bit soundtracks that she thinks, listen up, because this is some good music. So Dark Soccer,
this is important. This means important. Something.
What is the classic soundtrack of the month?
Blaster Master.
Great pick.
Yeah. And I had the music running through my head earlier today, and I'm like, oh shit, I haven't done Blaster Master for music. Isn't this the best?
It really is.
Anyway,
chat, let me know if the audio is too loud. I think it's a little louder than usual, but I don't think it's too loud.
Well, anyway, Blaster Master came out in 1988.
of course, on the Nintendo Entertainment System, or Famicom. And it really was very adventurous music. I mean, it made you feel like you were on a quest. And heroically on a quest, I might add. So, at any rate, the music was actually composed by Kodaka Naoki. Other games that he did that people might know were, let's see, Route 16 Turbo. A lot of these only came out in Japan. Spy Hunter, but of course that's also a Peter Gunn theme. There was Dead Zone. I'm trying to think of some other ones. Freedom Force, Blaster Master, as we just said here. Afterburner for Famicom. Batman. Fester's Quest. City Hunter for PC Engine. Journey to Silius. Remember, I brought that one up as a game.
So this guy gets a gold star.
Super Spy Hunter. He did a bunch of Batman games. And he also did Super Fantasy Zone for the Genesis. So, of course, he's instantly awesome sauce. As far as those others who worked on the game, we actually have for our sound programmer, we have Morita Nahisa. We have also for the music driver, Seiya Shinichi. So, just really good team. And all of these, you know, in various different ways, have worked on the music for a bunch of different really good games. So, I really can't say too much else, you know, about how awesome the music is. It's all iconic. Every level is, of course, but none more so than the very first one where everyone has played that level. And so there you go. It's Blaster Master. That is your classic game, or classic game soundtrack.
And, you know, although I would encourage everybody to go find the old version of this, it's on, like, Wii Virtual Console. I mean, obviously, that won't do you any good anymore, but I think it was on Wii U's Virtual Console as well, if I remember right. And then, of course, there's the remake, Blaster Master Zero, which, you know, as far as remakes go, it's not bad. And, you know, the way they reinterpreted the music and all that, they still did a pretty good job. So, you know, it's certainly better than nothing.
Yeah.
So.
But I could sit and listen to this all day.
Yeah. Oh, and of course, Start to See You points out it is part of the Switch Online service. So if you have the classic NES library, you already have access to this. So go play it.
Yay.
Yeah. And, you know, some of these, like, now that we're getting into some of the later stages, like, everybody knows the stage one music, but this is stage three that's playing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of great songs.
If you get that far.
Yeah, if you can get that far. But thanks to, Switch Online and so forth, you know, you can use the save states and stuff, and I think that rewind feature's out now, so help you out a little bit with some of those harder fights.
Agreed.
So, all right. There it is, your classic soundtrack of the month, Blaster Master, 8-bit soundtrack for the NES. So.
If they did, like, a Pokemon version, they could do Blastoise Master. I'd play
Noted.
It.
Noted. All right, we're going to move on. Let's get into some rapid-fire news and quickly travel around the gaming sphere and check out some quick news. Loki.
So our awesome games that we're going to get for August, starting with PlayStation Plus, Sniper Elite 4 and the Wipeout Omega Collection are going to be those two games. It's sad that it's only two games nowadays, but Wipeout Omega Collection would be cool. Not a huge fan of Sniper Elite, but I'll take free. And then, of course, on the Microsoft side of things, we have Gears of War 4 on Xbox One and Forza Motorsport 6, two great titles there. Gears of War is going to be available for the month of August, and Forza Motorsport 6 will be from the middle point to the middle point of September. And then, of course, your Xbox 360 compatible games. You have Torchlight, which is going to be the first half of August. And then the second half, you get Castlevania Lord of Shadow. And then, of course, since we're talking about free games and we're all on Twitch right now, Twitch Prime has some free games this month as well. So you get a few games, including Wonder Boy, Pumped BMX Pro, Mabel and the Wood, and then Automachef. And that's awesome. I keep forgetting to check for, like, games. Usually they have, like, kind of the, you know, you get like in-game currency or like skins or something like that for like a lot of these online games. But I remember we used to get more of the free games, like indie games and stuff. So I don't know if that stopped for a little bit and then they started doing it again, but I now remember to start looking at that stuff.
Yeah, Twitch, you know, if you do have Twitch Prime, they do have some pretty good deals in the, giveaway stuff. I want to say I still see a few indie games in there now and then. It doesn't always start off the month either. Sometimes it shows up a little later. So,
yeah.
Then, of course, I know you didn't go over it yet, but if you are using the Epic Games Store, I know that store has a lot of controversy with it sometimes, but if you are using the Epic Games Store, there is a lot of stuff to find there, too. And they're now giving away free games weekly. And if I'm not mistaken, this week's game is Alan Wake, which I think has been given away free before, so a lot of you probably have it. But if for some reason you've still missed out on Alan Wake after all this time, speaking of great Xbox 360 titles, that is a fantastic one that you should be checking out, is Alan Wake.
Yeah, I want to say that I have that from one of the Humble Bundles that I've purchased, but...
Yeah, I think most people have probably picked it up one way or another by now, but that is a great one.
Yes, Alan Wake and For Honor are free right
now. Oh, yeah, For Honor is up there, too, so... Cool.
I will add those.
Build up your free game library.
To my library.
All right. Well, moving on and talking about some things going on with the Halo TV series. So you remember at Showtime's doing a Halo show? Remember that? I forgot until I heard the news this week.
I forgot.
That's right. Showtime's doing a Halo show, and they have announced some casting. So Natasha McElhone, I hope I'm saying that right. She was on the show Ronin and Californication. She's going to be playing Cortana. She will be the Cortana AI in that game. It's a pretty big role, right? She had a Windows 10 feature that then got scaled back, named after her. Also playing Dr. Catherine Halsey, who is the creator of Spartan soldiers like Master Chief, and I'm pretty sure there's a tie there to the Cortana and all that as well. There will also be some other folks. Bokeem Woodbine from Fargo is going to be playing Sorin 066. Let's see. Shabana Azmi will play the Office of Naval Intelligence head Margaret Paranagoski. I hope I said that right. And yeah, let's see some other Spartans. Bentley Kalu from Avengers Age of Ultron and Natasha Kolzak from The Witcher, Kate Kennedy from Catastrophe. So that's pretty cool. The series will not start production until later this year, and it will be on TV the first quarter of 2021. So it's still a little ways out.
Gee, no wonder I didn't remember it.
Yeah. So anyway, it's always, I think Spielberg's involved, if I remember right. Was the thing with this. So, yeah. Anyway, there you go. Halo TV show and some of the casting. And one other story I have for you before we go over to Dark Sakura. This story has to do with something that Riot Games is working on. We know that Riot Games, of course, is highly tied to League of Legends. That's their biggest game. But they did confirm at Evo, finally, that they are working on a fighting game. Tom Cannon, who's the founder of Evo, who works for Riot now, called it the worst kept secret in the universe. So during Evo's live stream, he said, back in 2016, we joined forces with Riot, and I said we were going to go into the hole for a while. I want to be able to let people know on the worst kept secret in the universe, which I can confirm we are working on a fighting game for Riot. Riot acquired Radiant Entertainment, which was the studio that he was a part of. So that's where this all comes together. They made an online fighting game called Rising Thunder. So anyway, no other details about the game, just it's coming, wait for it, anticipation, all that good stuff.
Please look forward to it.
All right. Dark Sakura, do you have anything for us with Rapid Fire News?
Well, there was a leak out about new characters coming out for Street Fighter V, and so Capcom's is like, okay, here you go, here's some trailers. So we have Lucia from Final Fight 3. We have E Honda from classic Street Fighter, and we have Poison from Final Fight. Sorry. So pretty cool group. I'd say they're going to be fun to use. And I'm sure a lot of people were like, we want Honda for real. And I actually saw like what all of his outfits are. He has kind of like this pimp looking outfit for his business outfit. It's actually kind of fun.
Back in the day, back in Street Fighter 2, like in the day, like what was that? Probably like early high school, junior high school when I was playing Street Fighter 2. I used to love E Honda. Like I used to love that character because I would, it was all about that 100 hand slap. You just hit that punch button real fast and it was very, very annoying. And then of course Chun-Li had her version of that. But for some reason his was better. Oh, because in the later Street Fighter games, you could move back and forth while you were doing it.
Yeah.
In like Super Street Fighter and stuff. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then also, the probably worst character ever in a Dragon Ball movie, Janemba, is going to be in Dragon Ball FighterZ, and Gogeta is going to be in there too. So that fucking movie was terrible. But it has like one of my favorite lines in there because it's okay. In the movie, Goku and Vegeta are dead, so they're in hell fighting this evil hell beast, and Goku spends like half the movie, we need to fuse to beat it, and Vegeta's like, I'd rather die than fuse. He's like, but Vegeta, we're already dead. So it has like my favorite line, but it's a really bad movie. Okay.
All right. So let's travel around the world and check out some release dates and see what's coming out in a gaming store near you. Loki.
Not a lot of stuff. We've got Age of Wonders Planetfall on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Illusion of La Falcia, and that's coming out on PlayStation 4. Metal Wolf Chaos XD on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. We've got Pillars of Eternity Complete Edition on Nintendo Switch. Sword Art Online Fatal Bullet Complete Edition on Nintendo Switch. And that's it.
Sorry, we got distracted here. The cat made it. Did he knock over the bottle? What was it? Or was that you? Oh, did it wake him up
it
or something?
It disturbed him.
Oh, okay. Oh, weird. All right. Well, as long as he's okay. All right. Sorry. Mr. Smush is very important. He will be protected at all costs. So, all right. Anyway, sorry about that. So let's go over to Japan and check out releases there in Japan. Coming out in Japan this week, we have quite a few things on PlayStation 4, but many of them are games you've already had here. They're just coming out in Japan for the first time, or a repricing. Fatal 12 is a new game, though, that's out in Japan. So that is coming out this week. I believe that also has like an English language option in it, so some folks may choose to import that. I don't know. Also out in Japan this week, Wolfenstein Youngblood and Wolfenstein Cyberpilot. Also, Friday the 13th, the game, moving into the Hits Collection for PlayStation 4. And let's see, Nioh also gets out, N-I-O-H, Nioh, comes out for PlayStation Hits. I think that's already been out, but it's getting a price reduction. Going over to the Switch and seeing what we have over there, Puyo Puyo Tetris gets a price reduction and a special price edition there. And Sword Art Online, Fatal Bullet, that'll be catch some eyes. That is out as well. And then Shining Resonance Refrain. Getting a new price edition there on the Switch as well. So some re-releases and some familiar things, but a couple new games in there as well. Dark Sakura, how about the UK?
I've only got three things for UK in the upcoming week. On the 5th, we have Age of Wonders Planetfall. That's going to be on PlayStation, Xbox, PC. For Switch, we have on the 8th, Ugly Dolls, An Imperfect Adventure, and Ultra Wings. Also, Ugly Dolls will be on PlayStation and Xbox. That's it.
All right. Well, now we're going to get to the mailbag. Sorry, Dark Sakura. I know you're getting ready to eat dinner there, but that's okay.
C'est la vie.
Once we get past this, you'll have plenty of time to eat. So we're going to get to our mailbag segment. Every week, we invite you guys to send us emails to participate at orangeloungeradio.com.
I'm going to eat a bite right now anyway.
That's fine. And we pick a few of our favorite emails to read here on the show. Hopefully, nobody in our inbox trying to tell us that they caught us masturbating this week like we had last week. Dark Sakura.
Well, I deleted that and bypassed the trash.
Oh, okay, good.
Hi all, it's Metal Mayhem or Raginator, whatever name you want to refer to me by. I don't really personally care to BH.
Oh, whatever name, huh? Let's see.
I'm going to call you Wastinator.
Okay, Wastinator, yes. Wastinator.
I thought I'd try writing in since it may be difficult at best for me to call in. My PC headset's mic has bit the dust, and doing a call via Discord on my phone will be a bigger pain in the ass than a visit to the proctologist that doesn't use lube. I didn't need that imagery.
This week, I thought I'd write in regarding PC gaming. For brevity reasons, I won't recount why I got into PC gaming in my email. That's been covered to death in the past. Thank you. Nonetheless, I'll mention that my first PC game was Diablo II War Chest version with base game expansion manual and guide, and that I got it at Target for $20. I got the game seeing as I had played Diablo on PS1 and loved that game, so I figured Diablo 2 would be good too. A few months later, I joined Steam because Rob always used to mention them and their sales being akin to crack. My words, not his. Looking back, at this point I prefer PC gaming over console gaming. Due to the deals in one form or another, I managed to build a massive game library over the 7 years, about 2,000 games or so. That sounds like my normal games collection.
Yeah, wow, it's so impressive.
I never had that many games on consoles. All that being said, I'd like to pose these questions. For those of you that are PC gamers, what was your first PC game and why did you pick that as your first game? Additionally, what drew you to PC gaming to begin with? Fun fact, this email was completed and released before Loki completed and released Time to Car.
What was your first PC game? I don't know if I can remember. My first PC was a 386 SX16 and it didn't run much.
Commodore 64?
Oh, yeah, I guess Commodore 64 was a personal computer, if you want to say it in the purest sense. The first game I remember playing on the Commodore 64 would have been one of two games that my memory pulls up. A game called Le Mans, like a racing game, and you would actually use the paddle. It was a cartridge that went that you would plug in the device, and like it was like a, I don't know, like a pole position type of thing, but overhead, so the graphics weren't quite as complicated. But I do remember playing that, and that was a really fun racing game, you know, when you're like 7 years old. So I remember that. And then I also remember Slinky was one of the first PC games I had. And that game was scary because the music was scary, and like the big like enemies that would come out were like scary looking. But Slinky was basically a Qbert ripoff. It was completely a Qbert ripoff, but the board looked a little different, and some of the monsters were very, very different. So, like, it was creepy. Like, when you die, all the monsters would come out and then, like, attack your corpse, and a little flower would fall down like you were dead. Like, it was – that's the part that was scary. So, yeah, I guess if we went all the way back to Commodore 64, it would be that. Pure PC? I don't know. I don't remember what the first games we had were. It had to have been a Sierra game. It had to be something like King's Quest IV. Or something that would run off the discs. I'm trying to remember. I'm drawing a blank. Maybe Jones in the Fast Lane. No, I feel like that game came out later. I feel like that was a 486 game. I remember playing on the PS. My friend had a PS2, not a PlayStation 2, but the IBM PS2. Because I remember everything was PS2. In fact, they still sell PS2 compatible keyboards. That's what you know. The design was for. I remember playing an X-Men game. That was really fun. You were basically trying to save Storm. She'd been kidnapped, and you were playing the other X-Men.
Like that would happen.
Well, the reason why, they couldn't have Storm be a character because she's too powerful. So they had to have a story where she gets kidnapped so they didn't have to make her a character. But you play it like a lot of the other X-Men. I remember that game being a lot of fun. So anyway, those are the best answers I have.
TI-99-4A. I had to look up the name again because I know it wasn't Space Invaders. It was TI Invaders, and there was Munchman. There was also Parsec and Car Wars. Car Wars was a big one. I don't really remember anything on the Coleco Atom because all the cassettes would get erased in a power surge, so that was stupid. And then, I'll be honest, I had used like all Macs at school and everything, so I'd say probably my first PC era game, other than Gemstone, which was a text-based game, was probably the occasional Different Mud or the Rogue Clones and Doom.
Doom's a good pick. That's a classic.
And
PC
Loom.
Oh, yeah.
You know I love Loom.
Oh, yeah. I remember I had a game, and I think it was LucasArts, Legend of Kyrandia. You know, you've brought this game
on
the show,
game.
Loki.
It's Westwood Studios.
That's right. It was like another studio that tried to kind of get in there. That's right. You're right. Yeah. So, yeah, I remember that game.
Yeah, EA killed them.
Oh, that's too bad.
Westwood. They also did Command & Conquer.
Oh, right. Okay. Loki, what about you? Earliest PC gaming memories.
Also TI-99-4A. So I also had Munchman, but one I remember playing the most was Alpiner. I'm sure there's other games I had as well, but those are the only ones I remember offhand.
Good question.
Like my first actual PC, aside from the TI-99, was IBM. I don't remember. It was a 286 PC, and I had SimCity. I played it on a monochrome monitor.
Oh, good pick.
Yeah.
Love it. Good picks.
I did have Where in Time is Carmen Sandiego. I played a lot more of that than World.
Somebody in chat said the Where in Blank is Carmen Sandiego was their first game. So very good. Good picks all around. Good question. That was a fun trip down memory lane. So there you go. Any other emails or was that it? All right. That's it. So participate at orangeloungeradio.com if you want to send us an email in a future week. Meanwhile, we have some more stories for you guys before we get to Discord tonight. Oh, I apologize. We do
just
have one
last
more.
Minute.
A last minute email. All right.
Rob, when you say you're sorting your Pokemon in Pokemon Go by star rating, are you seeing all your zero star Pokemon at once? How do you do that? I'm not seeing such an option. This comes from Robert M.
Oh, good question. So all you do is when you go into Pokemon, well, first, number one is more important. Make sure you have the latest version. Because if you're still running an old version, you're not going to be able to do that. But then what you do is you go into, in the game, you're going to actually go into your Pokemon, which you can do with the little, with the Pokeball. You touch that and you do Pokemon, and that's going to bring up all the Pokemon that you have,
they
right?
They can't see it on the camera.
They can't see it on the camera. All right, I tried. But then you tap the magnifying glass at the top of the screen, and you type zero, and it's an asterisk. So when I say star, I mean the asterisk, and that's going to bring up all of your zero star Pokemon, which sadly two of the shinies I caught yesterday are zero star. So use the asterisk, and that's it. That's the only two characters you need. Four star will show you all of your Pokemon that are 100%, which is pretty cool to see. I now have two Sentrets that are 100%. I wish I had a better Pokemon at 100%, but whatever. You can also use three star for the Wonder Pokemon, or that's what they're called if you're on the blue team. I forget what the red team and the yellow team say on those appraisals. So that's it. Just the two characters, zero and the asterisk, and use the magnifying glass at the top in order to be able to do that. Happy to help. Now that is all of our emails tonight. So participate at orangeloungeradio.com if you want to send us an email in a future week. In the meantime, something you want to add?
No, just my dinner was ambitious.
Oh, yeah. It looks it's
you're
it's,
welcome to some.
Well, it smells like Chinese in here now, but it's a good smell. At
it's least, lemon so. Chicken and chicken chow mein.
Which, I don't say it on air, but I'm curious which place you got that from. So
China something.
Okay. All right. I believe you. Anyway, let's move on. Loki, let's get into some other news here.
Let's talk about things that never happen, and that is that fancy graphics update for Minecraft that's supposed to give us the 4K visuals and the improved lighting and all that stuff. Promised to us back in 2017 during E3, and unfortunately, we haven't heard anything about it. The reason may be because there's not a lot of people working on it. Apparently, only about 8 people on the team are actually working on this project. And apparently, it was harder than they originally thought because they have to actually rewrite or overhaul many portions of the engine to get it to actually work. So the Super Duper Graphics Pack, not going to be out anytime soon, unfortunately.
But rude. Mean. In the meantime, I wanted my 4K Minecraft, damn it.
Well, in the meantime, PC and Sonic Ether's unbelievable shaders.
I guess. Leave it to the mod community. Speaking of the mod community, I'm going to totally tangent this into something else. So something I've noticed Alan has been playing a shit ton of this week, Black Mesa. Because apparently, so you know Black Mesa is like they redid Half-Life, mm-hmm. right? So, but they've been working on the ending sequence, the Zen, I think it's called.
Yeah.
Is that last sequence? So they just put out the first part of the Zen levels this last week. So he's been playing a lot of that, just kind of revisiting Black Mesa. Because Half-Life is like one of Alan's like all-time favorite games. So I know he revisits it once a year. So this is like his good opportunity to do that. So, but funny enough, the other game that Alan has been playing a lot lately is No Man's Sky. And there's some new news on No Man's Sky this week. We talked a little bit about this last week, but now we have a date. No Man's Sky VR, which is the Beyond version, so No Man's Sky Beyond, will be out on August 14th. So there's some updates, including PSVR. That'll be very cool. I'm excited to try that on PlayStation. That's where I have the game. Alan plays on PC. I play on PlayStation. So sadly, we're not in the same universe. But Beyond is also going to expand social and multiplayer options. So they're going to make it a little more like, you don't want to call it an MMO, but some of those things I think we all imagined in the beginning are going to be a little more there. And this update is free. It's not going to be something like a microtransaction like you might see in an MMO. So very exciting. You're going to actually be able to meet and play with other people if you want. I don't know if I want to play with other people, but there you go. All right. Darsakra.
Well.
How dare you when I'm digesting. Anyway, Pokemon Go. We haven't forgotten that it exists, right? Especially since you just got asked a question about sorting your Pokemans. Well, the game actually hit a billion downloads in just 3 years after it was released. Pokemon Company actually released some videos commemorating the big marker. And, of course, some of those billion downloads include re-download, but it's still a pretty good number, especially since they're like, oh, that won't make it past the year. Look, bitch. Mm-hmm. Anyway, of course, the numbers have slowed down because it's a mobile game. And we've just had Harry Potter Wizards Untie come out. Sorry, Unite.
Wizards Untie. Love it.
Okay, my brain.
No, it's fine. It's funny.
Yeah, I just keep thinking, Untie.
It's one of the spells you cast.
It's Alohomora. That's unlock. But anyway, it still gets about 147 million users per month. And that was as of May this year.
Hey, when I just drove around the Capitol and I was floored by how many people I saw playing out there in the 100-degree heat. So there's still, I mean, Ralts is probably one of the most desirable Pokemon. A lot of people were waiting for this community day. I was still shocked at how many people I saw out there.
My buddy right now is a Ralts, so I can get the special evolution. So
nice.
Or whatever the one up from Ralts is.
The one that's
not Gardevoir, but
there's a male one, Galliard or something.
That's
like that.
The one I'm trying to get.
Yeah.
So I'm working on my Ralts right now so that I can use, I need to get another Sinnoh stone on it, but
oh yeah.
So that's why I need to do a trade with you today.
Those Sinnoh stones are hard to get, but yeah, I'll trade with you. No problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Moving on, just a couple more stories. Then we're going to open up Discord for your calls. If you want to give us a call over at vognetwork.com/Discord. Loki.
So somebody has actually taken it upon themselves to remake Elder Scrolls Daggerfall in Unity. So it's a project that they started back in 2014, Daggerfall Unity. Apparently they were trying to figure out how to actually port it to a modern PC, because right now it's been played through DOSBox. So he reverse engineered basically how everything was kind of being read, all the different textures and stuff, and now they've put it in there. Apparently it is the largest Elder Scrolls game with 62,394 square miles of in-game world. So it says it takes 60 hours to cross on foot. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, those older Elder Scrolls games, probably because they weren't as graphic intensive, so the design of the world didn't necessarily need to be as much. You know, like you look at a game like Skyrim and the environmental detail that goes into that. That's, you know, even though that world is massive, it is smaller than compared to these other games where you didn't have to have that same level
of detail.
Watching
the video, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
So they did release apparently some tools for Unity back in 2015, although now it's, you know, getting more further along. Basically, it says that they have the alpha build, which allows Daggerfall to be played start to finish in Unity. It's just crazy, just the stuff that they have in here. So apparently, he does have a page dedicated to his progress. So at the website, www.dfworkshop.net. and that's under his Project Staggerfall Unity. And so they have the different builds that are available and stuff for that. But, yeah, brand new build. He has, it's Alpha 10.3, and it's available. You can download on Windows, Mac, and Linux.
Kind of makes you wonder why Bethesda hasn't bothered to go back and do, you know, some redoing of their own. But I guess, you know, it is a lot of work, and this guy didn't get paid to do it, so.
Because if they were to go back and use Unity, that would mean working outside their own engine, which, you know, if they can True. Port it into their broken-ass engine to make
and they,
new games.
And they wouldn't want to take resources away from Elder Scrolls 6, which I'm sure is, you know, something that they need to have their attention on. So, Questbuster also points out Daggerfall used a kind of procedural generation to create such a huge map littered with towns, villages, and cities. You could try to walk across it or just use quick travel. That's true, too. There was a lot more just kind of like procedural generation, as in what you see in No Man's Sky is a great example of, you know, how vast you can make things with procedural generation. I mean, when you think about how fucking big a game like No Man's Sky is, it really like makes your mind, you know, makes you go cross-eyed. But that's all an algorithm, basically, that creates everything and creates it the same way for every player. So pretty neat. But yeah, it would be a similar concept to what you would have seen in some of these older Elder Scrolls games. So very cool. All right. Anyway, one more story for you guys. And boy, did I save the best for last, because I know folks are very excited. They want to hear all about new karting games. I know y'all are big on Mario Kart, right? Well, this isn't about a new Mario Kart game, but I would say it's just as important. That's right. This past week, we had the announcement of a brand new Garfield Kart game.
They're making a sequel.
The original Garfield Kart came out in 2013. Then it was remastered or something in 2018. And then I guess, I don't know, it was taken down. I don't know, whatever.
Why would you remaster that game?
Why not, Loki? Why not? Why would you do Daggerfall in Unity? Because you can.
Because you like that?
That's right.
Elder Scrolls game?
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, the game will be getting a sequel on Xbox One, PC, PS4, PC, and Switch. Believe it or not, it is again a kart racing game. Why is that in the press release? It is a kart racing game again. Just in case you were unclear that Garfield Kart was going to be a kart racer, there you go. Garfield, Odie, and John will be the only stars in it, but there's five other characters, I guess, that you unlock later on. 16 tracks that are inspired by the world of Garfield. How about that? Garfield Furious Racing is coming out in November. So, let's see. The intro says things like, are you lazy like Garfield? Take shortcuts to overtake the other racers with the spring. I'm sure this game is going to win all the awards later this year when we start looking at the Game of the Year qualifiers and so forth. Some comments in chat over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. Dark Tetsuya says, at least Garfield Kart won't have any microtransactions like the Crash Kart remaster just got later on after the reviews came out. Hopefully. Sia Tabiri says, I wanted Garfield Kart minus Garfield. Good comment.
I would love a Garfield game that like fully leaned into the Garfield memes.
Sia Tabiri says, it's all actually just John driving around alone. I would love a meme cart, a meme
like
racer.
A code to put in that would just do that.
But then how do you get Angry Luigi and meme racer? I don't know. Anyway, let's see. And also, what was the other comment? Oh, Kaijudo in chat says, I want a Heathcliff cart. Screw Garfield. Maybe they could team up. Wasn't Garfield the same one that was paired with U.S. Acres at one point during its run on TV?
Yes, and we know who else was in U.S. Acres. Our buddy Greg Berger.
Oh, that's right. He was.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, man. Good times.
He was Orson.
That's right. He was. Good times.
And Grimlock.
All right. Anyway, we are at the point in the show where we're going to take your calls. So if you want to give us a call, you can join us on our Discord, vognetwork.com/Discord.
And I'll have you know, just in case you're saying that Heathcliff deserves a racing game, they did have a Heathcliff racing game. Heathcliff the Fast and the Furriest.
Also,
came out on the Wii in 2010.
Thanks.
Well, this isn't necessarily about video games. It goes back to our opening topic. The website 8chan has been taken down by the hosting company.
Oh, wow.
So after, you know, Cloudflare just said take it down, they also took down the Daily Stormer, you know, 2 years ago, but it found another place with their competition. But I'm just saying that when a supposedly neutral hosting company is done with you, you know your shit.
Not the shit, but literal shit. You have come out of someone's ass. Just saying.
Thank you for that. All right. If you want to give us a call, vognetwork.com/discord. We would also welcome comments or questions in our chat room over at twitch.tv/vognetwork. If you wish to just ask us, maybe you're too shy to call in, you just want to ask a question, that would be okay as well. Otherwise, it's going to be an early night here at OLR Studios tonight, but that's all right. That's the way it goes sometimes, especially because we didn't have a break segment tonight. Do we have any last minute stories, Logie?
Nope.
All right.
I don't really have anything.
Things are a little slow tonight here at Studio OLR. What else do we talk about? Any cool collectibles or purchases in your home lately, Dark Sakura? I keep looking at my little indie arcade collection. I'm like, I wonder if there's no. more of those I'm behind on I need to get.
Well, at California Extreme, I got my Puka and Frygar. That doesn't count. I'm playing a lot of Sims. And all I've done is build two houses.
SSG100 Matt points out Evo is probably consuming some folks who normally call. Absolutely. I know Rama's at BronyCon, right?
Yeah.
Like, wasn't it like the last one or something like that was this weekend?
Mm.
I heard something about that. It was like the last BronyCon or something. So
I know he and Patty were cosplaying.
Yeah. No, I saw all that. So, I'm sure they'll talk about it on Anime Jam Session this week on Tuesday. So
yeah.
Have you guys been noticing, too, here at VOG Network, if you tune in earlier in the day on Sundays, Girls Gone Wow, they broadcast on Twitch. And so sometimes if you tune into our channel around probably about like 3 o'clock Pacific or so, maybe 2, maybe earlier, you will see Raven and EJ doing their show here on Twitch. So that's pretty cool, too. We love that a lot of our longtime podcast buddies are coming over to Twitch and making the jump over here. Pretty cool. Ooh, we have somebody in the green room. Let's get to it. It won't be a quiet night after all. Hi, you are on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Kaijudo.
Hey, Kaijudo. Good to hear from you. What's on your mind tonight?
I'm a little concerned about No Man's Sky and the VR update.
How so?
I can hear myself in the background. That's weird.
Sorry, we might have the volume might have been up a little high, and sometimes it gets picked up on the microphone, so we try to minimize that, but it happens. Go ahead with your question.
All right, so we all know that the reason why we're getting this, not the reason why we're getting the VR update, but one of the main reasons why we got this new No Man's Sky is just because of all the complaints. People were saying, you know, this wasn't the game that you promised us, and yada yada yada, and I feel like that's starting to build up again with this VR thing, because I mean, the VR community is going crazy. Like, they're acting like this is the second coming. They're like, this is going to be great. This is what VR needs. And I'm just like, I don't know if it's going to be – I don't know if it's going to be as big and special as you think it might be. You know, I want it to be, but I don't think so. Like, I'm not – you know, and, you know, it's not because I have any beef with Hello Games or anything like that, because I love the original No Man's Sky. I think I actually called your show and told you guys that I was satisfied with what they originally made, you know, so – it's not, you know, it's not me complaining, thinking that they can't build a better game, but I'm just like, I don't know. You guys might want to slow down a little bit on that. And I feel
I'm with you. Don't set the bar too high. Don't get your expectations too high, because you're exactly right. This is the exact same mistake people made the first time around with the game. And I think for those of us that didn't buy into the hype as much, we weren't as disappointed with the final. Because I remember saying with those early press conferences of No Man's Sky, like, show me the fucking game. And until they do, I'm not going to get my hopes up that high. And, you know, because I didn't get my hopes up that high, I was okay with the first No Man's Sky they put out. Like, I didn't think it was going to be, like, game of the year. But I didn't think it was, like, as shitty as a lot of people made it out to be. Now, I think it's amazing and a great, you know, comeback story. And honestly, like, you know, with as much bullying and shit as Hello Games got over the first release of that game, we're just honestly damn lucky that they've stuck with it and really invested so much more in it and made it a better game and a game that I think a lot more people want to check out. And I think it's awesome that we're even getting VR in the first place. But I don't believe this game was really designed for VR. So I think inherently it's probably not going to be the second coming of VR Jesus or whatever you want to call it. It's not going to be Beat Saber, something like that that is like a definitive VR app. I think it'll be – but I don't think it'll be bad either. I mean, we'll see on the 14th. But I think it's going to be kind of cool to play a couple times. I think it'll be fun to have that immersion. No Man's Sky isn't necessarily a frantically paced game unless you're like me and you shoot the wrong aliens and they all start coming for you. For the most part, it's not that frantic of a game. So I don't expect that, like, you know, VR is going to be like a very like hard thing to do in No Man's Sky. But I think it'll be neat. Like, you know, some of the worlds in No Man's Sky are really beautiful. Like, I remember Bobby and I ended up on some planet that was peaceful, and it was a really good-looking tropical planet. Like, I would love to see that again in VR. I think it's going to be cool. I will probably start over on No Man's Sky for, like, the fifth time when this VR update comes out. But I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, because I think VR was always, like, planned for it. So, like, I always thought, like, okay, the VR mode is just going to be more like you're just viewing things in VR. Like, I didn't really think it was going to be, like, a major part of the game. You know, like, the way people are talking online, it's like they feel like they're going to be flying to different planets, hanging out with their friends in their VR living room, you know, watching a VR TV. You know, they got, like, these big high hopes for it. I'm just like, I just hope Hello Games, not learned their lesson, because, like I said, I don't think there was a lesson for them to learn, but I hope they realize, like, okay, we don't want to get their hopes up, and, you know, we're just going to have to, like, really deliver on this VR and give them as close to what we think they want as we can do, you know? So hopefully they got that done.
I don't pin this one on Hello Games. I think they're just doing the normal level hype, you know? Of course they put out trailers. Of course they put out screenshots and things. That's what you're supposed to do. That's what any game company does about their product. They're proud of what they're doing. So if people end up disappointed in the VR and No Man's Sky, I don't think Hello Games will be the one to blame.
Right. Yeah. And you were talking about collectibles earlier. I just wanted to say that I know you got another call coming in. Oh, no, that's not your other call. Anyway, I actually bought the D&D, the Stranger Things D&D starter kit. It's really cool. I liked it.
Oh, yeah, because that's all the rage right now with Stranger Things back on TV and the kids are playing D&D. That is pretty cool, though, that is probably exposing more people to Dungeons & Dragons and making them think, oh, yeah, that's a thing I should get into. As much as we might tease the fact that, like, Stranger Things mania is everywhere, you know, that's kind of cool that it's bringing more people into D&D.
Yeah, it's deserved. You get five classes. Unfortunately, Max isn't in it. You don't get a Zoomer class, which I was like, how can you not have the Zoomer class in there? But they don't have that. But they have, you know, all the other five kids. You know, 11, Mike, Dustin, Lucas, Will. They're all in there.
Wait a minute. For, Max. So it's like a Stranger Things D&D where you're actually playing. I thought it was just a Stranger Things.
Yeah. You're playing If you remember the original season of Stranger Things, the D&D game that they were playing.
Yeah.
You're playing that game. Like, you actually have Mike's notebook with his notes. Like, he's the DM. Yeah.
Okay.
So you not to spoil anything, but you go to that upside down and all that stuff. And they give you two Demogorgon figures, which are really cool. Like, one is painted, one isn't painted. I don't know why. But it's a cool little set. It's only $25. You get it at Target, a lot of different places. But it's got me back in the DM and role playing again. Cause, like, I took a break from it because I really couldn't find a role playing game that I was into. Cause, like, I'm drained out on the fantasy thing. Like, I don't want to be I don't want to do the wizards and warlocks and all that type of stuff. Like, I was trying to find modern day, like, spy era. And then just recently I found the Marvel superhero role playing game. That was like the other game that TSR made. Mm-hmm. And that one is really cool. Like, if anybody's into tabletop gaming, you might want to pick up that. And it's free now. You can get it online. It's like a
school.
Yeah.
Old
but
school
it's good.
Game.
Yeah. You know, it's good. They use. Yeah.
You know what I used to have back in the day? Like, this was when I was still in high school. Street Fighter what? RPG.
I even know
Street
they
Fighter
that.
2 RPG.
That's nice.
Yeah.
And it's better than the Angry Joe version, right? Because Angry Joe, he's doing like a miniature game of it. And I think it's going to be crap. Even though I like Angry Joe. But I don't trust him with his Kickstarter. But anyway, so try those games. Try the Stranger Things, Dungeons & Dragons, and try the TSR. What was it? Marvel Superheroes, right? You can get it online now. You just go to classicmarvel.com, and they have all the books, all the supplements. You can download them all for free. It's a cool system. It's a simple system. It's not like the D20 system. You're using percentile dice, and it's really easy.
I just have one thing to say to you.
What?
Second edition D&D. I still have all my stuff. I know what my THACO is.
Awesome.
Or if you just want to migraine, play Rifts.
All right. My friend, I'm going to let you go. But thanks
so
much for the call.
Thank you for taking the call.
All right.
See you all in VR in the future. All right.
See ya.
All right.
Yeah, maybe I'll see him in No Man's Sky. Who knows? Anything like that. Love it. Anyway,
all that talk about VR Jesus made me think of the Lawnmower Man.
How so?
Just I was trying to think of what VR Jesus would be, and all I could think of was The Lawnmower Man, that movie.
I haven't seen that in probably since it
I
first
saw it
came out.
In the theater, and that was the last time I saw it.
Oh, wow. I just don't remember it.
Weird as fuck.
Yeah, it was weird. 90s interpretations of, like, computer culture are always great. Like, The Net starring Sandra Bullock, or, of course, the movie Hackers. Like, these are hilarious things to go back and watch. Heck, even the original Jurassic Park kind of had some funny computer stuff in it, you know? You didn't say the magic word. Anyway. All right, that's it for calls. We didn't have anything else on the line. So we're about to wrap up. If there's no other last-minute stories, I guess we're moving to wrap up for the night. But we will be back next week, except for Darkstalkers, sadly. But, well, not
sadly.
Not too sad for us, but not that sad.
Maybe he'll sing Jurassic Park is frightening in the dark.
Are you doing meet and greet again or no? Because
no.
You already did that. Yeah. I don't blame
we
you.
Did that for our 10th anniversary. So we're thinking next year of putting the money aside and going to Disney World.
That'll be fun. I've never been to Disney World and I really want to go, but we're doing the Star Trek cruise next year. Thanks to, I almost said it. I always call him by his last name and I got to stop doing that. But thanks to Grandpa or, Captain Matt from Starboard Power Company.
Yeah.
We're going on that cruise and they just announced over the weekend, cause there's been a big Star Trek convention going on in Las Vegas this weekend too. They just announced Jerry Ryan.
Tiara was there.
That's right. Tiara was there. Yeah. But Jerry Ryan's going to be on the cruise.
Did you see the Picard trailer?
I did. Oh my God. It looks so good.
Right.
I'm so far behind. I still haven't watched season 2 of Discovery.
I haven't watched any of Discovery.
I think I had the big twist spoiled for me and I'm a little irritated, but I'm still going to watch it.
So. I haven't watched any Discovery, but I mean, the thing is that I had read like all of the big end book with the Borg and all of that. And so a part of my brain's going like thinking of book continuity and now going, no, think different, not book. Because I read through that going through the Deep Space Nine books because I love the Deep Space Nine books.
Yeah.
DS9 is the best Star Trek series, and you're all wrong if you think otherwise.
I'm near and dear to Voyager, but that's just because I think that's just more like an emotional connection, not based in, like, fact. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Yeah.
But, you know, we would call Sisko a captain named Hawk because Avery Brooks was in A Man Called Hawk.
Ah.
So
Questmaster says, DS9 is great. Under the Pale Moonlight is one of my favorite episodes.
Yes. Such a good episode.
So you're in good company.
It's a fake.
Anyway, we'll be back next week. Loki and I'll be back next week to entertain you with the week in gaming news. We hope you guys will all be here too. Bobby Blackwolf will be back next week live at Twitch to talk about Gen Con. So we're going to have a good old time. Whether you're here or not, maybe we'll get treated to a phone call depending on how late the concert runs.
We'll see.
Anyway, well, Dark Soccer. Before we get to the final thoughts, as I always say towards the end of the show, hey, tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word. We are the show where every gamer has a voice, but only if the voices are here to put out over the air. So, yeah, be sure to bring those voices to us. A nice 5-star review on a place like iTunes or wherever you found this podcast, that goes a long way. And what also really, really helps the hosts on Twitch. Thank you so much to everybody that's put VOG Network in your auto host list. Dark Soccer, do you want to start us off with final thoughts tonight?
Stop killing people, you twats.
My final thought tonight would be I've really missed streaming on my personal channel, but with the Survivor game wrapping up, either I'll get voted out this week or it'll be done on Sunday. Either way, I should be back to streaming very soon because I want to make sure I build that up in advance of Dragon Con with all the streaming stuff that's going to be happening at Dragon Con. I'm really excited about that. Loki, last but not least, your final thoughts.
I guess I have a course to write in Unity.
Good luck. We'll be back in 7 days. Tune in then to find out if Loki was successful in doing any coursing.
Oh, yeah, like we'll know by next week. Come on.
Yeah, right?
Let's be honest here.
All right. Have a good week, everybody. Happy gaming. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VOGNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.